Just days before the FAA runs out of funds, will Congress vote to keep the agency going?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. In just a couple of hours, the U.S. House is scheduled to vote on a near $5.5 billion deal that would avoid another Federal Aviation Administration shutdown. The one we saw last summer. But a major sticking point is federal subsidies for flights out of rural airports. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer checked out one such airport in rural Maryland.
At least four times a day, a Cape Air pilot fires up a 9-seat propeller plane in Hagerstown, Maryland, and takes off for Baltimore, sometimes with no passengers aboard. The federal government pays Cape Air more than $400 per flight, about $1 million a year, passengers or no. I took the flight last Friday, and I was the only one on board.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Baltimore. Watch your step.
The subsidy program, known as Essential Air Service, was created in the 1970s to ensure that airlines served rural airports. Today, airlines at more than 150 airports get the subsidies, and it costs the federal government about $200 million a year. Critics say it's a waste of money. NYU law professor Michael E. Levine helped create the program. He says it was supposed to be temporary.
But you can really ask at a time when we're closing school libraries whether we should be spending money to provide air service that's only being used by a couple of people a day.
Over the summer, Congress agreed to cut essential air service funding at 13 airports, including Hagerstown. Phil Ridenour is the director of the Hagerstown Airport. He says taxpayers don't pay for the subsidies. They come from airline ticket and fuel taxes. And if they were eliminated, the money wouldn't go toward deficit reduction.
The money still goes to the FAA, and it would just be divvied out in another portion of an FAA program.
And Ridenour says the subsidies are essential for Hagerstown businesses. I flew back from Baltimore to Hagerstown with a small business owner. There were five of us on that flight. Chris Molesky owns the Wetsuit Warehouse in Hagerstown. He was returning from a trade show in Florida.
It's important we have an airport 5 miles away from our house, 8 miles away from our office.
Molesky says he wouldn't have gone to the trade show if he'd had to drive the hour and a half from Hagerstown to Baltimore. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
President Obama today goes to Columbus, Ohio to pitch his American Jobs Bill now before Congress. He'll visit a high school that recently renovated some classrooms to underscore the need to spend on schools and infrastructure. Let's do the numbers. Markets are mostly higher right now, under 0.5%. The Dow up 22 points at 11,084. The NASDAQ up about 0.5% at this hour. Import prices in the U.S. fell by 0.5% in August thanks to lower fuel and food costs. The government said today export prices, though, rose by about the same margin. Electronics retailer Best Buy said today profit was lower in its last quarter. Global shares are higher at the moment, but there are still fears the Greek debt crisis is getting worse again, and spreading. Today, Australia's parliament introduced a plan to price greenhouse gas emissions. Critics are worried about what that's going to do to the cost of living in Australia. But as Stuart Cohen reports from Sydney, it could get the ball rolling for other countries trying to limit carbon emissions.
Australian Prime Minister Julia Gillard's ambitious plan would put a price of $23 per metric ton on greenhouse gas emissions. The country's 500 biggest polluting companies would foot the bill and give much of the money to individuals to compensate for higher costs of energy and consumer goods. After 3 years, the plan would move to a cap-and-trade system, similar to the one that failed in the U.S. last year. Professor Natalie Stoyanov of the University of Technology in Sydney says Australia's plan may spur other countries to limit carbon emissions.
Well, I certainly think it would have an impact. We do have a bit of clout in Southeast Asia and the Pacific generally. And I think we're already seeing nations thinking about what they can do to improve things.
The U.S. and Australia typically have close ties, but Professor Stoyanov says whether this will give a jump start to American efforts to price carbon emissions depends on who's living in the White House in 2 years' time. In Sydney, I'm Stuart Cohen for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the knowledge effect. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
A district judge in California is going to hear arguments today in a case over the rebranding of corn syrup, now called corn sugar. Marketplace's David Gura reports.
A few years ago, corn refiners, the companies that turn corn into corn syrup, had a problem.
Over 50% of Americans were expressing concern about high fructose corn syrup.
That's Harry Balzer, an analyst with the NPD Group, a marketing research firm. Balzer told me many Americans started to worry about the healthiness of corn syrup, an ingredient that's used in lots of processed foods. So corn syrup got a makeover in an attempt to win back old buyers. It became corn sugar.
Seems to me Americans become more concerned about issues because they're told to be concerned about these issues, not because they know about them.
Corn sugar manufacturers spent millions on ads, and plain old sugar producers decided to sue. They say the new name is misleading, arguing corn sugar isn't a real sugar. Today, a judge will decide if their case has legs. Harry Balzer says eating habits have changed. Americans are worried about the relationship between sweeteners and obesity. And that'll be a big obstacle to overcome, whether you work with sugarcane or corn. I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And finally, Maserati, a true sports car that hugs the highways along all those Mediterranean beaches. But what if your Maserati is made in Detroit with parts used to make a Jeep? Sergio Marchionne, who heads up Fiat, which owns Maserati, is expected to announce today that a new SUV will be put together at a Fiat-owned Chrysler plant in the Motor City using Jeep Grand Cherokee parts. The new Maserati will go for about $100,000. Those Jeep Grand Cherokees cost only $30,000. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
If you could save a little cash by driving a little differently, would you?
Obviously, it's a little bit annoying at times, I know, but you get used to it. When you have to fill up, you know, one less time a month, you know, you start to think, well, this might be worth it.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. It's called hypermiling, but don't forget that annoying part. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.